Well, last week we heard Mark tell of the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Things got off to a fast start, with John having passed from the scene. Jesus went out into the countryside and began to teach, telling people that the time of the Lord was at hand and that it was time to repent and to hear the good news. Along with this word, Jesus offered a deed, and that was recruiting disciples. We saw how he went to Simon and Andrew and James and John, and their response to his action, their reaction, was to heed his call and to follow. Well, today, the story continues, and indeed it accelerates. Jesus now goes into the synagogue, which was the locus of religious communal life. Yes, people still would go up to Jerusalem to the big temple for the pilgrimage festivals and to offer sacrifices. But their daily vocations were lived out in their communities, in their synagogues, where they went to pray and where they would hear people teach the Torah. It was there that men who had spent years studying scripture and reading the commentaries, who had sat at the feet of learned mentors, would explain the texts. These were the scribes. They were credentialed. But that fact didn't seem to impress or at least meet the needs of the people in Capernaum. Because when Jesus came and began to teach them, they were astounded. They were amazed, and they thought he taught with authority in a way the scribes didn't. The Greek that is used in Mark is exousia, authority, power. There was something that Jesus said. We don't know what. If you listen to Dan read the lesson, we don't actually know what Jesus preached that day, but there was something that seized the attention of the people in the synagogue that day. But it wasn't just people who were present there that morning. For we read in Mark that there was a man who was possessed by an unclean spirit, a demon. Now, 21st century, postmodern, scientifically minded, data-driven Americans may have a little bit of a problem with the concept of demons. It seems rather anachronistic, antique, preposterous to talk about such things. And there have been commentators who've suggested that this man was psychologically disturbed. But if we are to understand what Mark is driving at in this text, we have to accept his narrative at face value. We have to see this man as being possessed by a demon. And it may help us to enter into this text, to look at the world around us, and to see the darkness that is abroad in our day and age. Only this morning there was news that the second Japanese hostage was beheaded by members of Islamic State. This past week, we observed the 70th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. In a world where people are killed simply because of who they are, what they believe, where child abuse exists, where whole nations can engage in genocide, we know that evil is real, that the forces of darkness do exist. And so that morning in that synagogue, as Jesus taught, the unclean spirit reacted. crying out. Have you come to destroy us? What do you have to do with us? You, the Holy One of God. Jesus' reply, be silent and come out of him. And the Spirit complied. And the congregation continues to be impressed and astounded. And apparently they went out and told their friends and their neighbors about what they had seen. But think about the difference in the response, the reaction to Jesus' action of the congregation and of the unclean spirit. The people in that synagogue that day recognized something was going on, something impressive, something exciting. And apparently left that day and went and spread the word, but we don't know what else may have happened. We don't know if any of them were changed. I'm sure we've all had the experience where we've seen or we've even been the person who goes to church and says, wow, great sermon, beautiful music, love the sanctuary. And then life just continues like it always has. But that unclean spirit, recognized Jesus for who he was and what he was doing. It should give us pause. That the first recognition of Jesus was by the ultimate outsider, a bad guy. The forces of darkness can recognize Jesus, but often the people gathered together as the congregation of God cannot. Now, Jesus was not ready to tip his hand and have everybody know that he was the Son of God. And so he silenced the spirit as he banished it. And there were moments of recognition that took place in the years to come. We remember that Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah. But even Peter, the first of the disciples, didn't quite apprehend what Jesus was all about. And nobody would until after the cross, when the centurion observed, surely that was the Son of God. The unclean spirit's recognition of Jesus was profound. And when that spirit saw who and what Jesus was, it had no choice but to submit and yield to Jesus. When we recognize Jesus as the Holy One of God, there is no choice but to give in, to be changed, to be transformed, even if it is uncomfortable, even if it is disorienting, even if it is what we do not want. We know throughout the Gospels that Jesus' actions will provoke a variety of different reactions. Some will be hostile, some will be anxious, some will be of indifference, and some will be filled with passion and excitement. We read stories like the Gospel of Mark, not only to see how the people of long ago responded to the work of God, but also to consider how we might react and respond. Jesus that morning began his work of healing, and it continued up until the cross. Now, I'd like to take a moment to reflect a little bit on that man who was possessed by the unclean spirit. I think we would all be sympathetic to him. We want to know about him. preachers often like to fasten on to that figure to talk about how Jesus heals and cares for us. But if you listen to the story, you realize that from a narrative standpoint, that character is just an object. He's a vessel. He's merely there to be possessed so there can be a confrontation between the forces of darkness and the oncoming kingdom of God. We never learn anything about him. What happened to him afterwards? So why don't we take a moment to make this figure into a subject, to think about him a little bit. We know elsewhere from Scripture that when people were possessed, they often behaved erratically and violently. And as a result, they often were sent off to the edge of town. They were banished. Think about what that would do to relationships with family and friends, the ability to earn a living. The life that had been known was taken away. How would a community respond? It's interesting to read that that day, this possessed individual was at the synagogue. Were the people there, big of heart, willing to welcome this individual into their midst, despite any kind of commotion he might cause, or did they just grudgingly tolerate his presence? We don't know. And what did they do after he was relieved of the burden? How did they respond? Were they excited? Did they welcome him back into their midst with open arms? Or did they decide that no, he must still be tainted somehow? We need to keep him at arm's length. Now think about this man. And consider what it would be like if such an individual were present here amongst us in this day and age. How would we treat somebody like that? What would we do? Perhaps we don't have much experience encountering people who are possessed by malign spirits. But what about the vet who's struggling with PTSD? The individual who is grappling with long-term unemployment. The person who is fighting substance addiction. I'd like to think that this congregation would open its arms and would walk with that person and hold that person. And if that individual was healed, would continue to support that person. Then we can move in from the extremes. What about when people get cantankerous, contentious? They have different opinions or priorities. How do we as individuals, how do we as a community deal with those people? How do they deal with us? I think that's a question that is before every church that claims to be following the way of Jesus Christ. Mark does not tell us, as I noted earlier, what it was that Jesus preached in the synagogue that day. Perhaps he continued to preach the word with which he launched his ministry. Perhaps that day he came in and told the people that the time of the Lord was at hand. Now is the moment to repent and to hear the good news. Perhaps that is the word that the living Jesus is still preaching to us today, in this place, and this time. Jesus is acting. The question before you and me is how will we react? Today and tomorrow and every day.